When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello everyone, it's Forest Focus. It wasn't pretty, but it is a beautiful scoreline as Nottingham Forest beat Sheffield United 3-1 to move 3 points clear of the drop zone with two games to go in the Premier League. We'll discuss how the table looks and how the big game went in the company of, first of all, Reds fan Mark Southerns. Mark, how are you doing? I ask that a lot. I ask that every week and get one answer, but how are you doing now?
At last, I'm hugely relieved after that game, obviously. And at last, it's good to do a post-match with a positive result, a very positive result to talk about. So I'm very happy.
Good. As am I. And a debutant today, a lucky charm, the only man associated with this podcast with a 100% record, Simon Fotheringham. Simon, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. That's 100% away record as well, if you don't mind.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Not many of those floating around for Forest.
It was never in doubt, was it, this afternoon, let's be honest.
Well, for being honest,
you can say that several times, Simon. It's not going to get any truer.
You're absolutely right,
Simon. Kick us off with just some general thoughts on what you made of the game, as we always do, and then we'll branch out from there. What did you make of it?
Well, I thought it was better than the Everton performance. Let's talk about the last away game that we had. I thought we were much better than we were at Everton. The first half worried me. They were cutting holes in the defence far too easily. But I felt that we've got that little bit of quality that they maybe don't have, although I do rate Ben Brereton Diaz, but I do think we've got that little bit of quality. And the longer we stayed in it, I thought we were going to be okay. And at half time, Burnley 3-0 down, Luton drawing last night. There's not a team talk to do, is there? You know, you're playing Sheffield United, bottom of the league. 100 goals conceded, nearly 98 at that point. Just show them the league table, show them that Burnley are losing, and show them that we're playing Sheffield United. And I think that's what happened.
I think so. That's an interesting point, Mark, isn't it? That I put in my notes that bit of extra quality, because we saw Sheffield United miss a lot of chances, but in Callum Hudson-Odoi, we had that quality on the day, I think.
At last, yeah. I mean, we've been talking about it week after week about how our quality should get us points, and it hasn't surfaced. It hasn't been realised, really, and maybe that's down to, you know, the way the rest of the team have played, but our attackers with quality haven't been able to deliver. Obviously, we've seen Chris Wood miss chances. He missed chances again today. But, you know, in games this season, we've seen one of Alanga or Hudson-Odoi turn up and pull us crucial goals, and that was the case today. I was expecting, looking at the matchups, that Alanga versus Osborne would be our source of main threat, and it was completely the other way around. I mean, Alanga was disappointing, but let's not dwell on that. Hudson-Odoi was fantastic. He only really had one ploy, and that was to cut back inside and call the shot in, but he was allowed to do it four times and scored from two of them. Fantastically taken goals. He was a menace all game, and yeah, his quality in the end was the factor that meant that we took the points.
Thank you very much to Avian Veterinary Services for becoming a member. It's good to have the support of the veterinary community, especially the bird veterinary community. It's not your partner, is it, Mark? I know she's a vet, isn't she?
She doesn't go near birds of prey or anything like that. So I can't claim that one. But.
Simon, just on Hudson-Odoi, that's 7 Premier League goals now, 1 assist, 18 starts and 28 appearances in total. I think at the start of the season, we'd have taken that, wouldn't we? I know. A lot of players do that thing, like Robin and Messi, where you know what they're going to do, but if they're good enough, it's hard to stop them, isn't it?
Yeah, he's quality, and I think if you watch both goals back today, Morgan Gibbs-White plays a role probably more in the second one than the first one. He sort of starts the move in the first one, and Danilo plays Callum Hudson-Odoi in. But the second one, Gibbs-White plays him in and then makes a run that takes one of the defenders who he's cutting inside of, just takes him out, and then he realises that Callum Hudson-Odoi is going to shoot, and by that point it's too late. So yes, Callum Hudson-Odoi's got the quality, but I think I'm a massive, massive Morgan Gibbs-White fan. I thought when we signed him that it was too much money to pay for somebody who was relatively unproven at the level that we're playing at. But week in, week out, you know, he put the free kick in as well. He doesn't get an assist for that because there were two other people that laid it off for Yatesy. But his every time he gets it, he does something positive. He plays people in, and it sets the tempo for what we.
You disappeared for 1 second there, Simon, but you made your point. Don't worry. You made your point about Morgan. Good to have 450 people with us. Just a quick shout out for Brendan, I thought, who's in Australia. Past 2 a.m. there. Lots of Australian people with us. Your family's in Australia, isn't it, Simon? Will they have been watching this one?
Yeah, my daughter was messaging me all the way through today. It's difficult with your phones, isn't it? When it's on delay, she's about 2 minutes behind, so I didn't want to say too much. But we were messaging at halftime, and basically she stayed up until she's 9 hours in front, so she'll be fast asleep now. But I'm sure she'll have a good night's sleep after that.
I'm sure she will. And quickly, thank you to Peter Addison for becoming a member as well. Appreciate the support, Peter. Simon mentions Morgan there, Mark. It was interesting. Mm. We'll go back to the start with team selection. He went back to the 4-2-3-1, which I didn't really like, but I thought we should still have enough quality to win. And it affected Morgan's role noticeably. What did you make of how we set up and how it progressed early doors in the game?
Yeah, I didn't initially, when I saw the team sheet, I was okay with it. I would have preferred going the three at the back because I felt that if we matched them up, we went out because we had the more quality man for man. So I thought it was an opportunity to take the same formation in. I wasn't too worried until the game started about the formation. But when the game started, it became very clear that we lacked that number six to sit in front of the back four and protect it. And Dinido and Yates just didn't work very well in tandem defensively for me. I think they both got forward on numerous occasions, but didn't really coordinate who was going to sit. And that meant that, yeah, they caused us all kinds of problems, as I'm sure you're going to talk about later as in that first half. It meant that Gibbs-White was in the 10 again, and it meant that obviously when we found him space in the pocket, that was when we caused some problems. And there were a few occasions in the first half where that was the case. As it turned out for the equaliser, it was Danilo in that role, but Simon's right, it was Gibbs-White who we won the ball back, I think, and then Gibbs-White on the turn played the ball into Danilo in the 10 role, and he laid a simple ball to get Callum Hudson-Odoi and he did the rest. But yeah, I mean, I think it was a gamble. We kind of went toe-to-toe with them, and there, I think their front two caused us a lot of trouble. And it wasn't until we went three at the back, and obviously it was 3-1 at that point, and maybe the spirit had gone from Sheffield United at that point, but we managed the game out, which is not often we see that, is it, that we manage a game out. So that was good. I wish we'd have switched the formations earlier, maybe at 2-1, but we got the third goal and that's what counted. So, yeah, in the end, I think we got away with it, but I actually think it would have been a more comfortable afternoon had we gone in with three at the back, but there you go.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right there. Thank you very much to Derek for the £10 donation. My father-in-law's here, Derek. He's already made spaghetti bolognese, so I'll save the chips for another day. But I'm not going to complain. So thank you very much for that, Derek. Yeah, I think you're right. I think we were saying this in WhatsApp. Cameron Archer took up these pockets in front of Bolly. And I thought Bolly was really good, but you can tell he can't run because he's playing so deep behind Murillo. And then Yates and Danilo didn't really pick up Archer. And I thought we started the game. We had a big chance, Simon, for Woods, but otherwise we started badly and then we go behind to a penalty. What was your take on the penalty? Any complaints that it was given, honestly, or not?
No, I don't think so. I think he slid in. Everybody was slipping, weren't they, today? And at first, when I saw it, I thought that maybe he'd lost his footing and he'd slipped. But then when I watched the replay, it was clearly a tackle. And yeah, I mean, Ben Brereton Diaz has made a meal of it, but he's taken him out. It's a penalty, isn't it?
And then he gets himself booked as well. I thought he was going to get himself sent off. Two things, Mark. I'm really pushing this Sign Brereton Diaz campaign because I think he's good and would fit in well with us. But also on that, and that you take on that, is he good enough for us? And Montiel, I don't know. He just worries me defensively, I think.
Yeah, well, I thought Nuno left him on too long as well. I think he did the swap eventually on about, what, 75, was it, when Toff came on? Maybe a little bit later. I was surprised that he didn't change it on the hour. As soon as we went 2-1 up, I was thinking, well, okay, get Montiel off, because I'm okay with Aina going that side and Toff coming over. I think, you know, they weren't causing us too many issues out wide, but Montiel, I just don't trust him to go in on the challenge and get that second booking, and then we're down to 10 men. And hanging on at 2-1. So I was surprised that Nuno didn't make the change sooner. It seemed to make sense, but, you know, we got away with that one as well. Yeah, he's a player that in passages this season, he's shown promise, but defensively he's been exposed on a similar number of occasions, hasn't he, in similar matches. So I think, you know, Nico was a big loss today, obviously, not having his there, because he's been player of the month, 3 months running now. And his effort and energy would have helped us. But in the end, Montiel, he did okay. It was a very reckless challenge, very careless to kind of slide in there when he should have stayed on his feet and try to get a clean tackle in. And it was a fair penalty. And then he was on a tightrope, but we got away with it.
Yeah, he did recover pretty well, to be fair. And we got back into the game, I think, fairly quickly. I can't remember the timelines exactly, Simon, but the quality of the strike from Hudson-Odoi, because when you watch it on the replay, it's all effectively on the half volley, isn't it? Hudson-Odoi's finish. Excellent technique again. He's got that in his locker, hasn't he?
It seemed to bounce up perfectly for him, actually. But he hit it so well. I mean, the goalkeeper's got no chance with that one. Likewise, the second one as well. I mean, he cuts in so well, doesn't he? He did it last season. I can't remember who that was against at the City Ground in front of the Trent end towards the end of the game. But yeah, he's got that in his locker, hasn't he? I mean, it's amazing, isn't it, that you said earlier he's done that 4 times in the game, and the Sheffield United players just didn't seem to learn, did they? It was like, it's obvious what he's going to do. Just don't show him inside. And he kept cutting inside, and mainly because, and I'm going to mention it again, mainly because of Gibb White's run for his second goal. But yeah, he's got that ability, and I think that obviously got us back into the game. But then we had a spell of about 10 minutes from sort of 30 through to 40, 45, where they could have had, I've written down here, they could have scored 4. I mean, there were clear chances. Murillo blocked 2. He blocked another one in the second half. And it was just, I mean, it was quite scary for a while, but it just felt like, let's get to halftime. Would hit the bar, actually, just before halftime. We could have gone in 2-1 up, but let's get to halftime and then sort of, you know, rebuild from there.
You can't beat a win, can you, when people are trying to... Thank you very much to Jonathan for the $20. That's very kind of you, Jonathan.
You're going to have a feast at this rate, Matt.
I think we will be. I think I'll be cracking open a bowl after this, certainly. Yeah. Simon rightly mentioned that spell, Mark, where, I don't know, I just thought we went to hell, really. A better team than Sheffield United would have killed us. And I know it's not what the sentiment of today is. We'll probably pick this up more on Monday with Lewis and the other guys. But, we were bloody lucky to be level at half time. What was going on there, do you think, for us to fall apart as we did?
For me, it's the six. I mean, they had 2 up front against our 2 centre backs, and Bolly was getting dragged out a lot and doesn't have the pace to recover. And it happened in the second half as well. Like you say, Cameron Archer and Diaz were a lot of movement across the our defence. And, you know, when Bolly's getting dragged out by one or both of them, that's not a good situation because he hasn't got the pace to recover. I was crying out for, you know, make the change, get near Cate on. But luckily, we got the goals and that pushed us through. But I think we were fortunate, yeah. For me, it comes down to that central midfield again. It is a problem area for us. I don't think you can blame Bolly and Murillo, because we'll talk about their contributions, I'm sure, in a bit. I thought they both had very good games for different reasons. Bolly contributed to the goals. Murillo, time and time again, was last-ditch defending. But the need for that last-ditch defending, I think it's just the lack of defensive cover we've got in midfield, because Yates and Danilo weren't disciplined enough to have that role. And it didn't really change in the first 10 minutes of the second half either. They came out and we were camped in our half for the first 5 minutes again. I thought Nuno might tweak it, but it didn't look like he had. Then we got the goal, and then, you know, we got the third and we saw it out. But I do think, you know, we're going to talk about next season, I'm sure, in a few podcasts to come. We've got to sort that number six role out. And we signed one, but he hasn't stepped up to the mark. So I don't think we can rely on him coming good next season. We've got to make another acquisition to sort that out, because if we're going to play a back four, it's like Cooper said, we need that defensive midfielder. And today that was on show, you know, that lack of cover really did expose Bolly and Murillo time and time again.
I knew Dan would be in the comments bigging up Bolly, yeah, as Bolly's exactly number can one we fan.
Yeah,
we can do shortly. I just want to get Simon's take. We talk about midfield all the time on this podcast. It feels like the biggest problem area, or one of the two biggest problem areas that's been consistent there. Yates and Danilo did good things individually at times today, Simon, but what do you make of that area of the pitch? Are they the pair for you or not?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I don't think they are, but the thing that worries me is I don't know who is. Yates brings something to the team that for me you just have to play him. Everybody knows that Dominguez is a better footballer, and when Dominguez is on, you know, he gets his foot on the ball and he's a better player. But Yates just brings something. Yates is just like, he's got the heart and the passion that we've all got, and it's like, I think somebody said to me once, few months ago, when Yatesy scores, it's like he reacts like we would if we scored, because he's sort of one of us, isn't he? I mean, I don't know whether you saw after the game where he's gone down to the Forest fans and he's sort of doing that, like he's swimming because Yatesy scores. We're in the whatever river it is, Sheaf in Sheffield. So for me, you sort of have to pick Yates. Danilo's blocking at Everton and today, and the way players just go past him is worrying, and that's part of his game that I think he's got to get better at. And I'm going to say something really controversial now, but I think there's a player in Sangare, and I think that over the summer, if he gets a start, gets up to the pace, if we stay up, I'm sure we'll come on to that in a minute. But if we stay up and we're still in the Premier League, then there is absolutely a player in Sangare.
I think you might be right. We've had a vet sign up today now, a monkey. Thanks very much, Chris, for signing up for membership. Appreciate the support, Chris. So I honestly was hoping, Mark, that Nuno would do a Marco Silva and make a change after about 30 minutes. He didn't make one at half time, as we go through it chronologically. Were you surprised? Were you frustrated that he hadn't made that change? Or did you think we'd win out eventually if we were staying patient?
Yeah, or even at least make a tweak and tell Yates to just sit in front of the back four. But it didn't, you know, that was the thing. I mean, Yates had a decent game. Danilo had a decent game, but defensively they were both all over the shop, I think. And we got away with it. But I think I was surprised at the start of the second half that it looked like Yates was taking up more defensive position, but then he was getting forward as well. I don't know. I just don't think either of them have got that discipline to sit in the six, which is what Sangare can do. And I hope Simon is right. I hope, and I do think there's a player there. My only concern is, can we bank on that? Can we go, if we stay up, can we go into next season without signing a player there, only to find he's not up to it, and then we're in trouble again? Because I don't think we can have another Premier League season without a number six if we're going to play a back four. It's as simple as that. So I don't think we can. I hope you're right, and I hope Sangare comes good, but can we risk that? Do we have to sign someone as well as and bring the boat? I think we do, unless we don't play a back four, and that's another argument, and maybe we don't do that. So, yeah, I think Yates and Danilo had good games for different reasons, but it wasn't their defensive cover that was standout. And I was surprised Nuno didn't address it, but I'll say it for a third time, we got away with it. And in the end, you know, we obviously were causing them problems all game. It was toe-to-toe, wasn't it? I think that was what worried me. It was like a basketball game. We were going at them and they were coming at us, and it was like, who's going to score the most goals? When I was hoping it was going to be more of a, we'll manage it, we'll manage the game, and then in the vital moments, our quality will tell. And it wasn't like that. It was pair them, scare them. And in the end, it was our quality that told. But Nuno's management of it, I think, maybe could have been better. I don't know. Maybe I'm being cynical.
No, I think it could. I was texting Lewis after the game, and I said, I don't think Nuno's had a particularly good day, but we have had as a team. And, you know, that thing... that's a conversation for another day. I think we're just relieved today that we've won. I suppose if he changed it, Simon Yates might have been the one to come off, and he gets the second goal for us. Finally gets that Premier League goal. We score from a set piece. Bolly nods it down. There was an appeal for a foul on Brereton Diaz by Murillo. What was your take on that whole goal for us?
He's not touched him, has he? I mean, he's gone down like a sack of spuds. It's unfortunately, it's part of the Premier League now, isn't it? And I think Yates is trying it probably a little bit too often. All this falling about and whatever. But Brereton Diaz, he's clearly not going to get to the ball. And he's felt the lightest touch on his back, and he's just gone down. And thankfully, we got a VAR decision going our way. But it was one of those where you're looking at it, and it's like, if they rule this out, then the game's gone, because he's I think was it Bolly? Was it no, because Bolly headed it back. I can't remember.
Murillo.
Murillo, that's right. Yeah, Murillo's behind him, and he's probably just touched his back, and he's gone down. And it's not a free kick, and it's a great finish from Yatesy, isn't it? I mean, I've just seen in the comments there, he needs 30 chances to score one. You watch him now, he's got one. He'll finish up top scorer next season or not.
Did you think, I'll stick with this one, because having seen that Arsenal-Bournemouth game earlier where Raya gets away with the slightest touch, did you think it might be disallowed or not when they looked at it?
I sadly was thinking inevitably it would be. I think he did push him. I don't think he can affect the path of the ball. I don't think Brereton Diaz is getting there. I think he took a chance, didn't he? I think this is the thing, isn't it? So players now, when they feel a touch, they'll go down too easy, and then it's in the lap of the gods almost, because we don't know how it's going to go in any one game. Right? We're told the threshold for like fouls certainly threshold for penalties has been raised. This wasn't a penalty. It was obviously a defensive foul. So I was pleasantly surprised when we got that. I'm not going to say that anything that we've done in the past has contributed to that decision, but for once, VAR came out in our favour. I think it was the right decision, but that doesn't mean we get it. You know, as we've seen, right, the right decision isn't always the one that's arrived at. So, yeah, I think we benefited from a correct decision there, but it could have easily gone against us.
Yeah, we just don't know, do you? You know, we all watched Luton v Everton last night. Well, actually, I don't know. Did you watch it, Simon, last night? Luton Everton.
I watched bits of it, but I saw the incident that you're going to talk about, the penalty.
Well, they had a penalty, which often you don't see those given, but I thought it was a penalty. And then they had the other one, which is very similar to the Rayner one, which I thought was a penalty on Dwight O'Neill, and that wasn't given. So you just don't know with VAR, I guess, is the sentiment. Let's go on to... I was going to talk about Hudson-Odoi's second goal, but before that, Simon, he hit the post, and then when Matt Sells kicked the ball straight to him, I thought, oh, here we go. But then Sells comes up big, and he had a good game, didn't he, Sells, to be fair?
Yeah, I think he's made a massive difference, hasn't he? Because we've struggled. I mean, when we signed Matt Turner, I thought it was a great signing. We've struggled, and we've struggled with goalkeepers. Just mainly their distribution. You know, the distribution of Matt Turner first half of the season was horrendous, wasn't it? And I think Matt Sells has brought more confidence to the back four as well. But you're right, there was one bit today where you just want him to put his foot through it, and he's tried to pick a player out. It's gone straight to Hamer, I think.
Hamer.
Gone straight to Hamer, who I thought was really good today. Mm. Hamer, I think, he's another one of those that he's probably perfect for Sheffield United, because he's the price that they can afford, and he's just not got that fight for the future, maybe one to look at. Matt Sells he's been fantastic. And I think he's still not kept a clean sheet for us away from home, which is where we want to be, isn't it? We want to be able to close games out and have a chance, you know, sneak a goal like we did at Chelsea. He's made a massive difference to the back four. And I think for them as well, you know, to know that they've got Matt Sells behind. There was one bit where he was injured in the first half, and Matt Turner got off the bench, and I'm thinking, no, please, this can't happen today of all days. But thankfully he got up and carried on.
Quick word for our sponsors, the Trent Navigation. They have apparently have a very good match day experience hosted by someone called Simon Fotheringham. So if you want to go... So if you want to go down to the Trent Navigation before the Chelsea game, then Simon is your man. And then after the Chelsea game, Rick Parfitt Jr. is your man for what looks like it might be an end-of-season celebration. We'll come on to that. But yeah, next Saturday, straight after the game, get down to see Rick Parfitt Jr. at the Nav. It is free. Right. The third goal, Mark, Ahmed Hodžić. I mean, we'll come on to him. It wasn't his game, but that's not that's the match that we wanted, wasn't it? And time and again, he had him on toast. I think it was the same for that goal. And Hudson-Odoi, well, talk us through it. What do you read on it?
Well, can we go back to the bully first of all? Because let's give him credit for the. You said it was a knockback for Yates, but it was a really intelligent header, I thought, for the...
Are we going back that far? Okay.
No, I want to go back that far.
Dan will be happy with this.
But also, for Dan, it was Bolly's tackle come interception on the halfway line that set the move running, gave the ball to Gibbs-White, and then Gibbs-White put Hudson-Odoi in that one-on-one scenario. So Bolly's showing, you know, what I've been wanting to see for several away games, which is someone actually getting a tackle in midfield. And winning the ball back for us, and that transition proved decisive. Callum Hudson-Odoi, we knew what he was going to do. Ahmed Hodžić didn't really do anything. Surely he knew what he was going to do, but he obviously didn't feel he could stop him. And this time, having hit the post about 10 minutes before from an almost identical scenario, this time he found the bottom corner. Hudson-Odoi has been outstanding, I think, for three or four games now. And he threatens this, doesn't he, in matches, coming inside and finishing in that way. And he's got vital goals for us. And we've got to think when you... we'll talk about recruitment in pre-season and the problems we've had there, and we have had problems. But we can't look at Hudson-Odoi and think anything other than that was an outstanding bit of business, because he has been a vital player for us this season, and particularly today.
Who was your man of the match, Simon? Because I think it was, you can't look past Hudson-Odoi, but as you know, without Willy Bolly, doing that game, as Dan says.
To be honest, I was just laughing at a comment there in the chat that said that I think it was Andy who said that he would drink Ryan Yates's bathwater. He'd have to fight me off because I'm in there first. For me, I'm going to sound like a stuck record, but for me, Bolly, Murillo, Callum Hudson-Odoi, brilliant. But Morgan Gibbs-White makes us tick, makes things happen. So he was my man of the match. I'm going to get slated for that. Probably.
You might do. You might. What about you, Mark, before we move on?
Murillo, for me.
Hudson-Odoi for me, but there you go.
For the goals, but I think Murillo kept us in it on, you know, two to three occasions. And we've seen him we've almost like taken him for granted now, but I don't think we can. He's outstanding. I've got a stat for you, because it wouldn't be the same without a stat. So clearances, blocks and interceptions. We kind of gather them all together. Obviously they're the crucial defensive actions that a defender does. Since Nuno came in, only Tarkowski has registered more clearances, blocks and interceptions in the Premier League. Murillo's got 143, Tarkowski 161. But let's be fair, Murillo offers a little bit more than Tarkowski, doesn't he, on the ball and his passing. So that shows you, when it comes to old-fashioned defending, how good he is. And yet, Murillo is not an old-fashioned defender. He's anything but. So what a player we've got there. And obviously, today's result gives us a chance to hold on to him.
That's another question. But yeah, hopefully so. Thank you very much to Mark for the £5. Hopefully Simon agrees it's going to be the first of many. Simon's got him scoring.
Is that the garlic bread, Matt?
It might be. We go 3-1 up and then we make the change. It was interesting because on the commentary, Simon, they're saying that Montiel was supposed to come off, and would Niakati have gone left back? I don't know. I hope not. But it ended up being Elanga coming off. We went three at the back. I very rarely feel comfortable watching Forest, but did you feel pretty comfortable that we managed the game well there at 3-1?
I never feel comfortable watching Forest. I thought when we went 3-1 up, even when we went three at the back, I'm just sat there waiting for them to score. But having said that, that's just my mindset, and actually we managed it out really well. I was like Mark, I was disappointed with the lineup today. I was disappointed we didn't start with three at the back. I think Ola Aina and Montiel are at their best when there's when we're three at the back and they're wing backs. And I think because it worked so well last Sunday against Manchester City, it just felt like a shoo-in. But Nuno, he doesn't do that, does he? He surprises us. I was disappointed, but when we went to three at the back, apart from the fact that I was personally struggling with it. I think we did look quite comfortable, didn't we? We managed the game out well, which we don't. They still had a couple of chances, and I still thought they were going to get one. Right thing to do. Surprised they didn't do it earlier. Alanga was the obvious one to come off. He was so far off the pace today. I thought he was poor. When you've got a player with so much pace and so much ability, and he's got Ben Osborne between him and the corner. Just knock it past him, and you know. I mean, Ben Osborne and Jack Robinson started that game. Let's not get carried away. They started that game today. I would have driven them both to Sheffield when we got rid of them. And they're starting a Premier League game. So let's not get too carried away. But yes, Alanga, the obvious one to come off, then go through at the back, and then manage the game out, which we did, but a little bit later than perhaps we should have done.
As Jackie says, do us a favour. Yeah, there's 700 people with us. We're pushing black box numbers, Mark. So wow. Well, you had more than that on Thursday, I saw. If you haven't hit like already, do us a favour and hit like and subscribe as well. That'd be a big help. Thank you very much to Richard Spray for the $5 as well. Richard, keep winning games, please, Forrest. What's going on with Elanga before we come back to it, Mark? I feel like he's overcomplicating his game a bit, isn't he?
Don't know. I mean, I thought he was going to. He started the game playing narrow, and I thought, okay, good, get him close to wood, and then any flick on, so he can get on the end of that. Then I think, I don't know whether Nuno told him to hug the touchline and you know, try and get Osborne one on one, but it didn't happen. He ran it in once and put a cross in, and that was towards the end of the first half. But he was anonymous, wasn't he? And it was good for us that we had such a threat on the other side, because. You know, if they both turned up in a game, which has happened, you know, we have seen it on a few occasions, but if we can have more of that, if we can have the twin threat from both of them and we can get Aaron Eve fit, then suddenly we are rocking. But today it was Hudson-Odoi's turn, and luckily he stepped up. But Langer, I expected more from him, and I think he was lucky to stay on the pitch as long as he did, because I wanted him hooked before. But and to be honest, he was the reason why we didn't have that extra man in midfield. We didn't have that control. And we managed to get through without it. But there's more to come from him. I've said before that, you know, he's played almost every game for us. That I don't think that's what he was bought for. I think he was bought for, you know, to play 25, 30 games maybe, and when fit. And he's had to play almost every game when fit. And so we've had good things from Alanga. I've heard people talk about him as possible player of the year. So let's not knock him. Just today wasn't his best game, and it was disappointing. But luckily Callum stepped up.
Just as well, Mark, one other thing, because I think a bugbear of yours is we don't manage games well. We're not streetwise, but we did win free kicks. We won smart free kicks. We slowed the game down. Hudson-Odoi, Gibbs White. That's the stuff that we don't do enough of, isn't it? We did that today.
Yeah, it was much better. Much better once we went free at the back and Gibbs White came in, went wide. And I thought he was going to sit in midfield, but he went wide and that was okay. That worked well. Aina is an excellent player to have in that scenario as well, because he frustrates opponents by being so good on the ball and he can win free kicks. Yates does what he does. And you know, I thought the last 20 minutes was one of the most comfortable 20 minutes I've seen this season. So exactly what I wanted. It was just the 70 minutes before that was so stressful.
Thank you very much to Ian Anderson for the $10 all the way from Florida. It'd be a bit earlier there, wouldn't it? So yeah, a good afternoon to you, Ian. And thank you very much for Andy for gifting the membership. Appreciate all this tonight very much, everyone. Has Haaland got a first half hat trick? We're going away from off on a tangent here. I'm entering into FPL world there briefly. Sorry. Right. I missed, for whatever reason, I missed the red card at the end, so I didn't see what happened there. What happened, Simon? And can they have any complaints about it?
Not really. He's already on a yellow for a late tackle on Aina, I think.
And that Hudson-Odoi, wasn't he? He went through his Achilles. That was a nasty one.
That's right. And then I think he did Hudson-Odoi again. And he's just gone over him, and he's led with his arm. He's not punched him, but he's led with his arm. And it's a clear yellow card. I mean, it was literally on 95, wasn't it? I think we just had time to take the free kick, and then. But he's lost his head a little bit, I think. And you're going to, aren't you? You know, Sheffield United are going to be frustrated. You know, they, particularly the defenders, when you see the strikers miss the chances that they've missed today, and they've had the season that they've had, they've just conceded 100 goals, they're breaking all the wrong records, then they're going to get frustrated. And I think the young lad there, who's got a great future, I'm sure, just lost his head a little bit. And it was Dominguez, that's right. I'm just looking in the, he's taken Dominguez out with his leading arm. So, yeah, it was the right decision by the referee for a change.
Jesus Guzman. Well, that's a magnificent name. I'd love to know where you are in the world, Jesus. Thanks for becoming a channel member as well. Very good of you. Someone else? Hang on. Scroll down. Yeah. Oh, God, it's flying in today. I can't ignore all these. Just enjoy. Thank you very much.
My God.
Yeah, I know. I love it.
It's fantastic.
Chris Aylmer, I told you not to worry about Everton, Chris, although that was torture watching that. Thank you very much for the €10. They're in their shirts. I've drank my beer after about 5 minutes as well today. So, yeah, we're enjoying this one. We are. Right, let's talk about, actually, just any final thoughts on the game. Anything we've missed, Mark, on the game you want to reflect on briefly or not?
Well, we talked about Sells. I think he was, you know, made some vital saves today, didn't he? And it's just as Simon said, you know, he's made a big difference to us. And we needed him today. You know, that shot from Hammer, I think, was a great save to tip over. And there was a couple in the first half as well, a couple of others in the first half. And I think he was good. I thought Aina was good again. That's it, really. I think Chris Wood, let's talk about him, because I feel sorry for him, because he had obviously that chance early on, which he put wide. And I was like, oh, no, is it going to be another bad day for him with the chances? And it kind of was. I think he should have scored with the header as well. I think that he did well positioning wise and got up well, got good contact, and just didn't direct it well enough. And his touch was off a few times. What I want to see against Chelsea is a goal for Chris Wood, because he deserves it, and he's been fantastic for us. And I don't want him to end the season to be remembered by the misses that he's been, you know, he's unfortunately been cursed with, because he's been so good for us. So I really want to see a Chris Wood goal or two before the end of the season.
I guess though, Simon, and feel free to offer any final thoughts on the game as well. But I guess one good thing is we've won a game without Chris Wood playing particularly well. And, he's not going to keep missing these chances, I would hope. So for us to come through like that is sort of a backhanded positive, isn't it?
It is. His first touch today was horrendous, wasn't it? There was a couple of times where, well, more than a couple of times, where his first touch was just off. But he's proved himself this season. You know, everybody doubted him at the start of the season. You go into a Premier League season with Taiwo, who's, let's be honest, Taiwo's going to be injured for the rest of his career, it feels, which is sad, because he was fantastic towards the end of last season at the start of this one. So you go in with Chris Wood as your main striker, and it's a worry, isn't it, at that level? But he's proved himself, and if you put the ball in, there were a couple of times in the first half where we had a chance to put a ball in today. We've not put one long throw in. As soon as Sheffield United get a throw in near our box, Jack Robinson gets it and launches it into the middle. We've got Ola Aina, who can do exactly the same thing. We get a couple of throw-ins, we don't do it, we throw it back, and we're playing it across the back. Give him the service, and he'll score the goals. And I had the pleasure, I don't want to name drop, but I was chatting to Joe Worrell before he left to go to Beşiktaş, and he said, we know what Chris Wood can do. We see him do it day in, day out at the training ground. So he's great. He's having a little bit of a... Every striker goes through it where they don't score goals. He's going through it at the moment. I mean, the second minute today, that chance in the second minute when he's shaved the post or put it in the side netting, they're the chances that he'll score. He's not He's not Haaland, is he? He's not going to score. Well, Haaland doesn't score every chance he gets, but he will score goals, and he's proven that. And he's just going through a bit of a dry spell. And I'm with Mark. Let's hope he gets one against Chelsea, and then maybe he'll get one at his own stomping ground at Burnley as well. And he won't be remembered for the misses that he's going through at the moment.
Thank you very much to Giles for becoming a member. Appreciate that. And thank you very much for Jadon for gifting 5 memberships. That's incredibly kind of you. And thank you very much to Oliver for the £2. I don't know. No comment on that. Right. let's move on to have a quick look at the relegation picture as it stands. Here's the table for those who don't know it. We are now 3 points clear of the relegation zone. Our goal difference is vastly superior, and we're 5 points clear of Burnley. Shout out to Newcastle today for doing the business. Winning 4-1 could have done with a 4-0 there for different reasons. But yeah, happy with that. Right. So I said to Simon before we started recording, Mark, I've not been worried at all. I've not been worried about Luton, but now we're so close to staying up, I'm suddenly very worried that Luton are going to win 2 games. I think that says more about me than Luton. How are you feeling? Are we on the precipice of staying up now or not?
So first of all, you weren't worried at all, but now...
I wasn't worried about Luton, but now I am, because now really? I know they have to win.
Okay.
It's just, yeah, terrible psychology, isn't it, on my part?
I'm feeling the most relaxed I've done for months now in terms of our situation. I mean, we don't know what's going to happen. The points of the appeal. Let's forget about that for now. And that could yet change things further. But I was surprised by the Burnley result. I didn't expect them to capitulate. I actually thought they would get something today and that would be a problem for us, but they didn't. Luton last night, I think, is what we've seen from them in previous games recently, in that a lot of effort. Their ploy is kind of predictable. Adebayo back now makes it even more predictable. They're going to hit long diagonals. Everton, luckily for us, were very well equipped to deal with it. They didn't on one occasion, but they did on many others. Luton go to West Ham and Burnley go to Spurs now, and they both play before we kick off against Chelsea. If they both lose, we're safe. So it could be all over before we even kick a ball against Chelsea. So when you said earlier about get down the nav pre-match, definitely get down the nav pre-match, because we could be celebrating before we even start our game. So, and I think it's entirely possible that Burnley could lose at Spurs and Luton could lose at West Ham. West Ham, you don't know what you're going to get, but I think I don't see Luton winning there. And they really need to get something, don't they? Otherwise, you know, all we've got to do is match Luton's result and we should be okay. Because of goal difference. So yeah, I think we're okay. I'm celebrating the win. I'm not celebrating staying up yet, because obviously there's still 2 games to go, but I feel relaxed, which is quite a big thing for me.
Just to reiterate those fixtures then, Burnley, who now have to win both games, have got Spurs away, then us at home. So hopefully Spurs make it a bit more relaxed for us in that game and win that one. And then Luton have got West Ham away, as Mark says, and then Fulham at home. I don't know. Yeah, how are you feeling about it, Simon? Are you as confident as Mark, or as suddenly as unnecessarily nervous as me?
No, I am. I said about 4 weeks ago that if we don't get another point, we'll still finish above Luton. That was my thoughts then. I think they're rubbish. I watched them last night. It was awful. Everton are just as bad, by the way. That performance at Everton was massively disappointing for me, because I felt that they were there for the taking. I'm surprised Sean Dyche has still got a job, to be honest, because they're dire. Last night was like watching the Championship again, which I don't want to be doing next season. So I think Luton, who are they? They've got West Ham.
West Ham away and Fulham at home.
Yeah. I can't. They might get a draw against Fulham. I can see them getting one more point. Burnley have got Tottenham, haven't they? Yeah. They're not getting anything at Tottenham. It's sad that we've probably, hopefully, going to stay up, because there's 3 teams that are not very good. I nearly swore then, sorry. There are 3 teams that are worse than us. But that's where we are, and that's because we can't manage when we're in front. We can't manage games out. But it's tough in the Premier League, isn't it? Every game's difficult, you know. But I'm very confident after today. If you'd said to me this morning, Burnley are going to get tonked 4-1. Forest are going to win 3-1. And Luton were as bad as they were last night. Then you're going into the last two games very happy, aren't you? But yeah. But I will say that I hope the players are not start. They've got to wipe out any thoughts or any complacency. Go and do the job against Chelsea if we have to. And like Mark says, we might not have to.
Yeah, that was a remarkably bad game of football last night. But something about Everton that I kind of admired is how they steadfastly refused to even attempt to pass the ball in the Premier League. It's a unique throwback. The only thing that worries me about Luton is just the strikers are decent. I think the strikers aren't bad. Adebayo and Morris will cause teams problems.
They
could get something at West Ham. But the big advantage for us is we know what we've got to do, right? So if they go there and get 3 points, then we've got to match that result against Chelsea. And if we match that result against Chelsea, we stay up because the goal difference is they can't claim that back. So, and let's not forget, if Burnley leaves at Spurs, Burnley are down when we go to them on the last day as well, right? So I can't see Burnley getting much at Spurs because Spurs are going for, you know, the top, you know, European places. So, you know, they've still got every incentive to win that game. I think top four is probably, is it gone for Spurs yet? Not quite. No,
not quite. They need to win all their games.
Yeah. So I still think Spurs at home, as we said, as we saw, they're not playing well, but they're still a force. I think I can't see Burnley getting much out of that. And they have to win, right? So even if Luton win and we get a draw, and you know, that would make it make it 1 point in it. We go to Burnley on the final day, and Burnley are down unless they get a win at Spurs. So I still think we've got the advantage, even if Luton do pull out a win at West Ham, they could do it. But it's a lot of pressure on that game now for them, and West Ham are not a bad side. They've got a lot of good attacking players, and Luton do look fragile at the back. And on that pitch, in that stadium, I think that's a big ask for them to go there and win.
Yeah, we are in a great position. You can't deny it. We'd all have taken this at the start of the weekend, certainly. Right, let's move on to any other business. I know Simon's got a few things. Any other business / any final thoughts, Mark, before we go?
Me? Only to say, didn't Emily say it's her birthday as well for the Chelsea game? Did she say that?
It is. Yeah. It is next Saturday, yeah.
It could be a hell of an occasion on because I think we're all going to be there, right, as well. So
three of us.
And then, I mean, I'm just looking ahead to that. I'm looking ahead in the possible scenario where we don't even need, you know, we can relax in that game. I'd like to think as well that hopefully Emily will get her birthday party and then Greg will get his party at Burnley. So, it's going to happen, I think. I think there's every chance. So, no, I'm just absolutely chuffed and pleased for those who went to the game. And hopefully they're having a good time tonight. We're celebrating the win. We're not celebrating staying up yet. But, you know, to say I'm optimistic is playing it down. And as I said earlier, I'm not often optimistic about Forest this season. So I feel good.
Yeah. And if we can't celebrate the wins, especially this season, then it's pretty pointless doing this. We should certainly enjoy them. Simon, any other business for you, as we often give a platform here? Anything you want to add / plug?
I've just got three things, if that's okay. So there's a food festival at Trent Bridge on Bank Holiday Monday. So in the day after tomorrow, if you fancy coming along to that, tickets still available on the Trent Bridge website. The Big Shed, as you said earlier, Matt, I'm hosting pre-match before the Chelsea game. We've got a special guest as well coming on stage with me. I don't know whether you want me to mention who that might be, Matt Davis.
Is it Mikey again, Simon?
No, it's special doing a lot of heavy lifting there, but you can do, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's not Mikey this time, although if he's in, he's more than welcome to come up as well. But and then I've just announced 17th of July, which is the night before the test match starts at Trent Bridge with Chris Broad. Tickets are on sale for that as well. So if anybody fancies coming along to that, that's the 17th of July, the night before the test. Thank you, Matt.
Where is that? You froze at the wrong time. Where is that at?
Sorry, that's in the William Gunn. So Fathers and Friends in the William Gunn. So if you check out the William Gunn website, you can buy tickets there.
Very good, very good. Last one from me. If anyone's got any, I always say this, if anyone's got any charity events they want to plug, give me a shout. But there's a game tomorrow at Carlton Town. It is a 12:30 kickoff. It's for aiding funds for the war in Ukraine. So Yeah, I think it's voluntary donations on entry. So, yeah, if you look for something to do, the weather's going to be good tomorrow. Get down to Carlton Town Football Club. Watch some football. There's barbecues and food and fun for all the family in aid of a good cause. Right. Good to have seven. I think we peaked at 750 people. Good to have 750 people with us. The table is looking a lot better. We're all feeling good. We are back on Monday at 10 a.m. with Lewis, Greg. Oh, gosh. Greg on a Monday after a win. It's a good job it's early. He might just have dragged himself out of bed, but he'll be in good spirits and temps. So do join us for that if you can. Simon, I hope you enjoyed your debut. Thank you very much for joining us.
I did. Thank you for inviting me. Thanks, Matt.
You can come again. Don't worry. You've done a decent job there. We've won. So yeah, you'll be back soon. Don't worry. Mark, thank you very much.
Thanks, Matt. Always a pleasure, but more pleasure than ever today. So thank you very much.
Yes, thank you very much, everyone. Have a good weekend. How can you not? And we shall see you on Monday.
Sports Social Podcast Network.